Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Enjoying the World Cup? If you want proper analysis, honest opinions, and plenty of laughs along the way, give The Rest Is Football a listen. Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, and Micah Richards break down the biggest games, the standout moments, and everything happening on and off the pitch with brilliant guests joining them throughout the tournament. Whether you followed football your whole life or you're just getting into it, they'll help you make sense of the drama, the tactics, the joy, and the heartbreak of the World Cup. Listen to The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Welcome into the Odson Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Preem, Eric Scope on the show. As always, welcome to the summer edition of the show where we are effortlessly counting down the days until fall camp starts here in Eugene for the Oregon Ducks. And to prepare us for that, Eric, you put together a top 30 list of Oregon's roster going into the offseason. Before we break down, we're going to run through the names. And sure, there's already some interesting things that have popped up when you were doing this series. But what was the criteria? How did you make this list? What were the things that you were – is it projection? Is it based on just pure returning? Is it a blend? What's the criteria for – this list?
It's a good question. I think as you get to the top of the list, it's probably more a little bit more pass production. Players that are pretty well, like, we know who they are players, and so it was kind of based upon some of that as opposed to projection. The 30 to 21, which is where we're going to start, is almost exclusively projection based off of insights we've heard off of recruiting rankings, off of talking to people from around the program, what people have said, because as we'll see, and I think this is maybe what's kind of interesting as we go through this, there's a lot of really highly productive players on this team. And then there's a bunch of guys that are going to be relied upon who have not only like not been starters, but have also been kind of like not in the rotation or played a lot. So like 30 to 21, which is where we'll start here in a second, like only a couple of these guys have played even, you know, more than a handful of games at Oregon. Right. So that's where you kind of get into that component. But yeah, top part a little bit more on maybe past production. And then we're getting into just pretty much just kind of throwing darts at the dartboard based upon what we've heard for the back end.
Real quick, we'll go through these in chunks of five. So starting off the list at 30 is offensive lineman Tommy Tofi, a freshman. Defensive lineman Aiden Breland's at 29. Trey McNutt, a redshirt freshman safety, is at 28. Cornerback and sophomore Naeem Offord is at 27. And then newcomer, portal addition offensive lineman Michael Bennett III is at 26. The first thing that pops to my head with this group of five is Tommy Tofi. You're banking high on the upside here. And then Trey McNutt, a guy that missed all of last season due to injury, has cracked the top 30 as a redshirt freshman. Those two guys in particular, what did you like about them to make this list?
Yeah, Tofi is – this guy looks great in the spring game. He's the only true freshman on this list. There's a positional need. If Emmanuel Ihanacho had been on campus and had looked good in the spring game, his name might be the name right there. And more than anything, it's just the upside of it's possible by the end of the season, this guy is way further up this list. And we go into 2027 being like, here is your bona fide star right tackle, right guard, left tackle, wherever he lands. So he's kind of a man, there's a ton of upside. And same thing with Trey McNutt. Like, that was the same thought process, really. I mean, these guys have played the exact same amount of football games at Oregon at zero. And for Trey, it was a year ago we were talking about this guy before the injury. Like, he might be a starting true freshman defensive back. Instead, he goes down in fall camp. We hear about him in the rehab, but you never see him on the field. Again, total projection pick. All of these guys are essentially projection picks. You know, like Aiden Breland had the really exciting spring game. Worth talking about him. I still think Offord, the former five-star, has a ton of upside, and he played quite a bit. Of these five names, he's played way more football at Oregon than any of them. And then Bennett, again, that's a projection too, because he hasn't played at Oregon yet. And we're just kind of banking on, hey, this guy was good at Yale and it'll translate to this level. So, yeah, again, this early part of the list is just like, hey, there's excitement about these players. I guess one thing that kind of brings them all together is that there's playing time available too. And it's not just like, hey, this guy's really good, but he's not going to see the field. I think all the names we mentioned should be part of a rotation and should be regular players.
Yeah, it's probably for the next group too here, where you probably have some guys that might not be starters, but will be rotation pieces. And that's clear that they will be.
Yeah.
Checking in at number 25 is North Carolina transfer junior. It started for the Tar Heels. DeAndre Robinson, and then UAB receiver who transferred to the Ducks, Iverson Hooks, is at number 24. Baylor transfer, Carl Williams the fourth, has landed at number 23. And then the next two guys are homegrown players that signed with Oregon out of high school and have kind of developed themselves here. Matt Johnson at number 22, and then Nasir Wyatt at number 21. I guess just for me, looking at the top 20 or the top 30 that you've got listed, Nasir Wyatt feels like the one, and probably Matt Johnson second, that could have like the quickest ascension up the rankings here. Maybe Tommy Tofi as well if he ends up being a starter. But these are the two guys I look at and say they could move up the list pretty quickly here this season.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting with both, Matt, and I agree, and I group those two together. I also, as you mentioned, as you kind of probably picked up on a bunch of transfers in a row, it was just kind of guys like, okay, I don't know exactly what their role is, but there were good players at their past school. They should be rotational players at Oregon. But for White and Johnson, it's kind of interesting because we know they're not going to be starters. Like, Tatum Tuioti is still on this roster, you know. We've got Bear Alexander. You've got Amari Washington in the middle. That's going to disrupt Matt Johnson's ability to be a starter. But we saw in the spring game from both these guys. We saw in limited action last year from both of these guys. These are, like, really high upside players. And frankly, Matt, I think as we went through the spring football portion, you know, of this calendar year, these were the young guys I think that everybody on the team was talking about almost the most, was Wyatt and Johnson, and just kind of their potential emergence this year. And while they won't be starters, I think they're both going to be played a lot, and I think potentially really impactful players who, again, similar to what I said with Tofi, you get through 26 and you go to 27 and you're looking at it going, Wyatt and Johnson are going to be two of the core players on that next year's team and maybe two of the star players defensively. So this is kind of that developmental season. And you're right. I think there's a path to both these guys moving up this list. I don't know how high I'd be willing to put them just because I don't know if either will start, but it's possible Nasir Wyatt like leads the team in sacks and Matt Johnson is like the most disruptive defensive lineman from an interior perspective on this team by the time the year ends.
Next on the list here, starting at number 20, linebacker Devin Jackson, senior. Dave Iuli will be number 19, an offensive lineman. This is one that's really interesting to me, is Fox Crater, redshirt sophomore, kind of the assumed left tackle starter, checks in at number 18. Cornerback Ife Obadegwu at number 17. And then safety Aaron Flowers at number 16. The thing that pops out here is you've got two seniors, and then you've got three guys that are all sophomores. Crater, though, in particular, you're really high on him. Top 20 player, really only one start, really only one game's performance. What was the thing that attracted you to put him there?
Well, it's probably interesting that I have him over Iuli, who started every game last year and was in the starting lineup a little bit in 24 after Harper went down. So, you know, you've got a player who's established versus a player who is really not established. And I think that's frankly, and maybe this is faulty logic and maybe the listeners will disagree, but we kind of already know what Iuli is. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. I also am not sure he's like too much above the average as a starter, as an interior offensive lineman. Like, he deserves to be in the top 20, right? Like, there's 22 starters on this team. We know he's going to be one of them. We expect, at least, maybe things change. He didn't play in the spring game. Maybe injuries cause issues. Maybe a younger player emerges in his absence. But I feel pretty good about him being a starter this year, so he deserves to be in there. But Crater's a guy who, yeah, I think, and maybe more than anything, it's the upside of a younger player playing a really important position, right? Like, left tackle, this guy better be good. If he's not good, and we saw this at times a year ago, I think Isaiah World down the stretch of the season, he's dealing with some injuries. Obviously, we know now he tore his ACL against Indiana. But when it wasn't looking good, it's a pretty big problem for this team. Think about early against Texas Tech. You think about both games against Indiana. You hope Fox Crater can assume that role. And I think, frankly, like, the one that sold me more than the USC start was probably that second half against Indiana, where I thought he stood up really well. I know the game was kind of out of hand, and maybe the Hoosiers were maybe not fully bringing it at that point, but I thought he played really well in that instance. So that's kind of why he's there. And then they got the two young defensive backs who both started every game last year, and I think we both agree, iffy, a lot of penalties. He had twice as many defensive penalties of anybody on the team, and Aaron Flowers gave up more touchdowns and coverage, twice as many as anybody on the team. So these are young players who had some really nice moments, but also you can kind of look at a couple places for them to improve.
Yeah, they've got ceilings here that need to be reached, and they need to show improvement. And it's one of those where, hey, we have an improvement plan for you, but it's also not one where we're sitting here saying, we've got a hole. We are really concerned about this position. That those are just two guys that were probably thrust into maybe a little bit bigger roles than maybe initially expected. And they performed okay. Certainly had moments were really good, and certainly moments where they need to get better.
Yeah.
Number 15, senior linebacker Jerry Mixon. Number 14, sophomore Jeremiah McClellan at receiver. Sophomore running back Deer Hill is at 13. Defensive lineman Barry Alexander is at 12, and then another running back, another sophomore as well, Jordan Davison at 11. First thoughts here is, wow, Barry Alexander. I know, look, we're getting to the point now where guys get pushed out, and you can make a strong argument that he should be in the top 10. But Barry Alexander not in the top 10 is interesting. Jordan Davison not in the top 10 is interesting. I would say Jerry Mixon not in the top 10 is interesting. But I'm okay with J-Mac. I'm okay with De'Aaron Hill. I think De'Aaron Hill was a little bit of a specialized role last season, and I want to see him maybe – and that's what he talked about in the spring, and that's what Samples talked about as well, of being now the complete back. J-Mac was certainly really good the last third of the season, but it required some injuries for him to really kind of – get that opportunity, but I'm okay with there. But the Bear Alexander one, to me, just someone's got to be out there. But I'm curious, what was the reason for him being outside of the top 10 when I agree, someone's got to be out there. It's probably going to be him, but he's got a strong case to be included in the top 10 if we wanted him to be.
He does. And Matt, really the reason that he's not is there's just a lot of good players on this football team. I think that to me was one of the takeaways doing this, is that the top end of this, Barry Alexander might be a first round draft pick next year, right? Like that's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't have him as one of the 10 best players on the team, and we'll get to some of the players above. And maybe that's what I'll ask you to do, is tell me who you move out for Bear. Cause I think that's Bear and Jordan and De'Aaron, those three players in particular, how is hard not to say those guys are top 10 players. And I'm sure there are listeners who will go through this list and totally disagree and think one or two or all of them should displace players who are in the top 10. But when you get into that upper echelon of guys, there's just a bunch of names that feel deserving of spots. And with Bear in particular, I've already got an interior defensive lineman on there. I've already got two edge players on there. And it felt like, do I want to put all four of these seniors in the top 10 that play the same position group? And again, there's a lot of really talented players elsewhere on this team that we'll get to. And I know I have a sense of who the listeners think should be out, and I'll be curious to see if you agree. The two freshman running backs, it's hard. I think there's a pretty high likelihood this looks wrong by the time the season starts. It's just right now there's some more established players on this roster who have already proven to play, I think, at a higher level at their position than what we've seen from those two so far.
Going into the top 10 now. Wide receiver Evan Stewart at 10. Outside linebacker Mateo Uyunglele at 9. Safety Coy Parrish at 8. Defensive lineman Amari Washington at 7. And then tight end Jamari Johnson at 6. I think if we did this exercise last season, and this is to your point, Eric, about it's so hard to make this top 10 because there's so many guys that are worthy of being included and honestly being worthy of included in the top 5.
Right.
The one that I guess two of them probably, if we did this exercise last season, everyone's available, everyone's healthy. Evan Stewart, Mateo Uyunglele are both probably in the top 5.
And yet I have in the back of this top 10. And I think the listeners, Matt, and maybe you can tell me if you agree or disagree, would probably say Evan in particular would be the one they'd be comfortable dropping to move a Bear Alexander or Jordan Davison or a Jerry Mixon or somebody into the top 10 just because he missed all of last season. I'm basing this almost exclusively on, like, he looked great in the spring game and right. Everybody was raving about his work ethic, but we haven't seen this guy play football, you know, in the fall for over a year. And there's a chance it kind of flops. And even when he did play in 24, right, it was really up and down. It was the Ohio State game, the Boise State game, I think the Michigan game where he had these really big moments. And then there was a bunch of other games where he didn't really perform. So he's, I'm sure, probably the most controversial, I think there's probably polarizing is maybe a better word, player in that top 10. But I just feel like the upside is so high there, and especially if he's healthy, that he deserves to be there. I think Jamar.
You know, I've been rethinking how I style the smallest spaces in my house this summer. Instead of stressing over what won't fit, I've been looking at tons of versatile styles from Bob's Discount Furniture that actually multitask. Whether you're working from home or hosting guests, take that Betty dining set, for example. When it's just me, it's a compact, space-saving setup with a super comfy Bobapedic seats. But it extends in a snap when company arrives. It comes in 4 fun colors, boasts over 1,500 five-star reviews, and at just $5.99 for a 7-piece set, you'll actually have a budget left for the dinner party. And if you love that retro chic vibe, they also have the Betty Bedroom Set featuring gorgeous felt-lined storage drawers and another 1,500 five-star reviews. Or if you just want to lounge, check out the Phantom Power Reclining Sofa. It's packed with cup holders, charging ports, and Bobapedic cushions without taking over your whole living room. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Johnson, for me, outside the top 5, and obviously I have him at 6, is easy to say. That might look really silly at the end of the season, because if he really performs like we think he could, and he's the top tight end in the country, which is definitely an outcome that's possible, he might be a top five guy without question. But again, when we get to the top five names, I think people understand why, like, yeah, that's just, there's a reason you're at six, because there's so many good high-end players on this roster.
I think if we were going to swap, you're right about Evan Stewart being the one that we were going to pull out of the top 10, be fine. Mm-hmm. And I honestly would be fine if you put him at 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
One spot behind Jeremiah McClellan, because to your point, this was a guy that hasn't played a ton of football in the last year and a half. And when he was healthy, it was up and down. It was really good when it was at the high levels, but then he would disappear. If we wanted to put him right behind Jeremiah McClellan or right in front of Jeremiah McClellan, I would be okay with that decision. But I also go back to the Ohio State game in mm-hmm. October of 2024, or I think it was the Penn State game. Just how good he was, and the Wisconsin game, the catches that he made in that performance. He was electric. He was dynamite. He was elite of the elite. And if that Evan Stewart can consistently play, he's top five, and mm-hmm. he's really close. And then Mateo Uyunglele, I agree. Like, this is where he should be. I don't know. Like, a step back isn't the right way to describe his 2025 season, but it just wasn't the level of production we maybe anticipated. And that's in part because maybe some other guys took advantage of his double teams, and you know, he faced some challenges and is going to have to adapt. He certainly looks like he's adapted physically from spring ball to be ready for that. Coy Parrish being at eight, I feel like, is kind of a good spot in which he could drop a little bit. He also could move up a little bit. It's not going to be a surprise either way for me there. Let's go to the top five.
Well, I just had one more thing I was going to say was with Mateo. He was my number one overall player when we did this exercise last year, and now he's at nine, which is, I think, just sort of speaks to how perceptions change. And you're right in terms of guys that could move up. Would anybody be surprised if we end the season talking about, oh, Mateo's going to be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft, and he was the best player in Oregon's defense? I don't think anybody would. It's just you're coming off a year where you said, I think step back maybe is fair in production. I mean, he hit less sacks, he had less tackles for loss, just a little less impactful. There's no reason he can't bounce back and just have an awesome senior season. And I kind of expect he will, but based on what we've just seen, I think this is a fair placement for him.
Number five is Brandon Finney Jr., the sophomore, freshman All-American the previous year. Number four is senior Iapani Lalu, also known as Poncho, Oregon starting center, Remington Award, probably finalist for this coming season. Wide receiver Takorian Moore, a sophomore, at number three. Tatum Tuioti at number two as the outside linebacker, edge guy. And then obviously the number one guy, QB1, Dante Moore, checks in at the overall best player position. I don't think you've got any issues with Moore. I think Tatum Tuioti is certainly – every year he has gotten better. Every year he has taken a leap. And we had Cooper Patagna on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about him, and it's a guy that NFL traits are there. The motor from the NFL perspective is there. He's turned himself into from a three-star prospect into a potential first, second-round draft pick. This makes a lot of sense. Takorian Moore, I think, is still probably a little bit based on, from my read, Eric, maybe a little bit of the potential here. Yep. But it's still really high, obviously. Poncho's Poncho, and Finney is an All-American. This is the top – tough to have a top five that doesn't include these five guys.
Yeah, that's sort of how I felt. And, you know, I guess, how do you feel, and I'm wondering if listeners will agree, do they feel like Dante Moore is the team's best player, or is he just playing the most important position? He's a projected early draft pick because he plays that position. He's a Heisman Trophy candidate or you know, early. He's on those kind of watch lists because of the position he plays. I'm curious how fans kind of perceive Dante Moore at number one. I didn't put a lot of thought into that part necessarily, just because of what I just laid out of, like, it's hard to say you've got a guy who's projected to go top three in next year's draft, who's a top five Heisman, you know, watch list guy right now, and don't put him at number one. But I could see somebody who's looking at this based upon what kind of past production looks like would say, maybe Dante isn't the best player on this team. There were some real bummer moments with him against those two Indiana games, with obviously the pick six and one and the two turnovers in the fourth quarter and the other. he's maybe not the best player on this team. And then similarly with Tatum, this is a pass production ranking. I think it's fair to say Finney probably has a higher ceiling as a defensive player, that Mateo probably has a higher ceiling, that maybe even like Amari Washington does. But to the point we've made, like, Tatum has been so consistent, so productive. He's gotten better every year. He's kind of been a slow burn player, right? Like, Nasir White kind of leapt off the screen when he joined the team and everybody was excited. I think Tatum has been kind of he's intriguing, coach's son. Oh, he's getting better. Oh, he's getting better. Oh, wow, he's the team's best defensive player. That's an interesting one. And then DeCorian, that is of the top five, without question, the most projection pick of the list. But I think people forget, like, maybe not our listeners, but some people, that he was leading the receiver through 8 weeks before he goes down with injury last year. Didn't really ever click when he got back, but go watch that spring game. Go watch what he was doing at the, you know, early on September and October of last year, and tell me that's not one of the three best players or the five best players on this team. I think he has a chance to be one of the best receivers in the country this year.
Yeah. DeCorian Moore, if healthy, his stats look different. His production looks different. And I think his name, even though he's still highly regarded, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of interest in him from a national college football perspective, as well as an NFL perspective. Even with the year that he had, he didn't have a bad year.
No.
But I think people kind of viewed him as someone that would be flirting with 1,000 yards receiving and probably double digit touchdowns, and didn't have that because of the injury. But I still, even though that didn't happen, everyone's still equally as high, if not higher, than him. I mean, he has the physical traits. He just looks different than your typical sophomore receiver.
What I was going to say, he has the unfortunate task of following Jeremiah Smith as the number one receiver in the country the previous year, who went out and obviously helped Ohio State win a national championship, and put up massive stats. That's a tough follow, right? Like, I think we can agree. I know it's an Oregon podcast, but Jeremiah Smith's probably pound for pound the best player in the country, and pound for pound the best receiver prospect we've seen for decades. That's tough, that because that sets the expectation of, hey, this is what the top receiver in the 2024 class did. Hey, here comes DeCorian Moore, the top receiver in the 2025 class. Yeah, go do what that guy just did. And that was probably never going to happen. So I think that contributes to it a little bit. And some people maybe think, oh, he had a disappointing season. I don't feel that way at all. And I don't expect he'll be the Biletnikoff winner, because I think, again, that guy in Columbus is probably going to win that award if he's healthy. But I think DeCorian has a chance to be an All-American this year, and very much in that conversation with the skill set and talent he has.
Real quick, obviously we're expecting Dante Moore to be gone. Tatum Tuioti will be gone because of graduation, lack of eligibility. Same thing with Poncho. Same thing with Amari Washington. Mm-hmm. And also same thing with Mateo Uyunglele and Evan Stewart. So you look at that group, and six of the top 10 guys are all going to be gone after this season. I think there's a real possibility that Jamari Johnson's gone.
Yes.
There's a real possibility that Kobe Parrish is gone.
Yes.
Is it as easy as DeCorian Moore, Brandon Finney are your long-term projections for 1 and 2 next season? Or could someone lower on the list kind of, A, not only crack the top five, but be in play for number one in 2027?
Maybe one of the running backs. Like, we've kind of had this debate on the message board of, like, do we think either Davison or Hill emerges as, like, not a bell cow running back, but somebody who gets to 12, 1400 yards, has a really big season, and kind of separates? Like, I could see that possibly happening, although I kind of think these two are just going to be 1A, 1B for their careers. I think similar to what we saw with those Penn State running backs. So those would probably be the next two I'd point to. And really, like, I'm anticipating we think DeCorian Moore is going to be the best player on next year's team.
Yeah.
That's the way it feels right now. There could be somebody way further down this list who just pops, though, right? And has enough of a year where they kind of thrust themselves, so they have to be in this conversation. Like, I don't think it's likely, but what if Nasir Wyatt, as just a pass rush specialist, has like 11 and a half sacks this season? And you go into 2027 being like, could this guy break the school record in sacks? You know what I mean? Could that he and Matt Johnson, honestly, I know they're further down the list, but of returners, feel like guys who could really thrust them their way up the list, and we would be making probably the rankings around the top off of projection, maybe more than anything else at that point. But those are kind of maybe some of the names that are further down. But yeah, I think it's going to be DeCorian and Brandon. And I think DeCorian to me feels kind of unlikely to be displaced. I had a question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
30 names on this list. Obviously, there's way more than 30 good football players on it. I've got a couple names, but was there anybody that as I was running through, you were kind of surprised wasn't included at all among the top 30?
Maybe a projection on like a Jet Washington could maybe be a guy that you, but it's hard to justify who do you take off for, right, for a Jet Washington. At receiver, there's not really anyone there that you're talking about. I do think maybe Dylan Raiola would probably be in the top 30. But
he's
not really going to play.
Like, I was going to say he probably is one of the 30 best players on this football team, but it's hard to put a backup quarterback in there because we just know he's not going to play.
Outside of that, I think it's a pretty good list. There really isn't anyone that you just instantly are thinking, man, this guy, why did we leave him off? How did he not make the group here? Blue Dantzler from the spring game was fantastic, but that was like a surprise move, not one that we kind of expected going in. Maybe Tank Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But again, who are you pulling off from a projection standpoint? I feel much more confident that a Tommy Tofi is going to play a lot of snaps over a Tank Jones. I think Tank Jones is going to play, but you're not going to pull off a Mateo Uiagalelei and a Tatum Tuioti every fourth or third play to put in a Tank Jones just because.
The two names for me that were like made some sense, Kavika Rogers, just because he's in that kind of conversation as a possible starter this year, right? And then I thought maybe Devon Benjamin.
Yeah.
Just and just because of the upside of that star position, it's pretty unpredictable right now. We have Carl Williams on here. I wouldn't be surprised if like a freshman like a Benjamin, maybe he's just fresh in my mind because I wrote a little story about him on Tuesday and kind of how his spring went down. But just like he feels like a player who played a lot of nickel in the spring game, looked pretty impressive. Maybe he's this year's true freshman starter in the secondary. And if that's the case, he should be on this list. But those are the only two guys I could really identify who I didn't have on this list who it wouldn't be totally shocking for them to be like a starter, right? And you kind of need to be in that starting conversation, obviously, to be in a top 30 list.
Yeah, the playing factor is huge for me to be in this list of, and that's why Dylan Raiola probably shouldn't be, even though he is a top 30 player on this roster. I think if we're going to look at guys that maybe could push their way into the top 30,
mm-hmm,
Devin Benjamin, obviously, I think that's one. You made a good point about the uncertainty of the star position. I would also throw in like an Andrew Olesh or a Kendre Harrison who could maybe play their way into this.
I like that.
I think one of the linebackers that I don't know who it's going to be, but if you did a trio of Braden Platt, Dylan Williams, and Gavin Nix, I think there's probably a likelihood that one of those guys could be in the discussion for that opportunity. What about Jalen Lott? He missed spring football. It's probably going to be hard. Or maybe a better one would be Gatlin Bear, because from a physical standpoint, there's not a lot of guys on the roster that resemble what he can do. But yeah, this exercise would be fascinating to do again at the end of September when they've played four games and we re-rank the top 30 to see just where would the changes, who are the newcomers be, and who would push someone out?
I think that's an easy content item because we'll have a bye week after the USC game. Matt, I'm writing that down on my calendar. Maybe that could be a fun podcast reflection during that bye week, and I'll put the story together too. This is always fun to do. It's totally subjective. I know listeners will have fun kind of poking holes in some of this and have their own rankings. And we're going to post the whole rankings and a link to the story in the podcast description so you can take a look at it. Because I know we ran through it maybe quickly and it was hard to track everything. Post your own top 30 or your top 15 or whatever your list is. Tell us what you think. I'd be curious to see how people's opinions differ, who they think, if they agree or disagree with some of these top five guys, and especially like on that back end of that's all, like that basically 30 through 21 was almost exclusively projection. Do people agree? Do they disagree? How do they kind of think about some of those fringe players as well?
It's going to do it for us here on this edition of the Odds and Ottawas podcast, the summer edition. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back shortly. Might be end of this week, might be early next week, kind of diving into a series of position reviews, recaps, and projections going into fall camp. But until then, you've been listening to the Odds and Ottawas podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.